Well, good morning and welcome back to Ag Hour. Chuck and Josh here in the studio. And joining me today is Dwayne Bussey, who's with Bolt Marketing up in Britain. Well, Dwayne, are you getting snow, wind, everything else?
Yeah, just about everything up here right now. It's starting to get a little depressing, I got to say. Snowstorms in April and kids being home from school, snow days during April, it just kind of gets old pretty fast.
Well, I don't know. Some schools are going to be going to school yet in June the way it's going. And it's got to be miserable for these guys out in the farm, especially those calving right now. It's just got to be watch the market go down and watch the old snow come.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I know I really feel for those guys. It's got to be a lot of sleepless nights here lately, but hopefully this weather can turn around pretty quick for them here and see some sunshine very soon.
Well, we're looking at the grains, and that report came out. I think I was surprised by it, that where the acres came in. What'd you think? Were you kind of a little shocked that they were that low?
Yeah, I think for once USDA actually used math when they came up with this report. When you look back, it kind of does make sense because you had more cotton acres expected, more spring wheat acres expected. When I talked to guys up in Grand Forks, they all raised their hands when I asked if they were planting more spring wheat. So it makes sense looking back now, but boy, the trade sure was looking for more total corn and soybean acres. But there's only so many acres out there. So you can't plant more ground than what we did the year prior. So corn and soybeans definitely lost out. Combined, they're at like 177 million acres this year, and that was definitely less than the trade anticipated and definitely what we're concentrated on moving forward.
Well, you know, the cotton acres, you were talking about that. Pretty big increases in some of this Oklahoma, Texas, and even Kansas.
Yeah, exactly. A big increase in Kansas, which is kind of a different deal there, kind of a change from the winter wheat. Let's try some cotton up here. But cotton prices were sharply higher, so I understand that. The only thing is it is an expensive crop, so we'll see how long that change stays out there, if cotton prices dip or anything, if people would go back to wheat pretty quickly. But for now, that's definitely what they're planning, is cotton in Kansas, believe it or not.
Well, let's talk about the corn right now first. Kind of in a sideways movement, not a lot of movement in the corn, but yet they still keep talking about it as a bearish market. Is it?
No, I don't think so. I think corn market, I've got my bullhorns kind of sharpened up out here and did prior before the report as well, and now maybe more confident. The biggest thing is world stocks, and I think I've mentioned this before last time we talked, world stocks of corn are down sharply year over year. Now, where all the corn is at is in the U.S., obviously. So we still have a lot of old crop corn, but we are chewing through it. And now with less acres planning on being planted in 2018, the ending stock will drop somewhat sharply right now in the U.S. So that all being said, the funds look at that as less supply year over year. That's not bearish. That's bullish. So the funds are pouring into their long positions. And before the report last week, they actually got out of a lot of their long positions. So they have plenty of ammunition to take this corn market higher.
Well, you know, we were looking at, they were talking about ethanol. I didn't know for sure with the way things were going, fuel prices and stuff, but that seems to be picking up, doesn't it?
Yeah, ethanol is definitely picking up the demand there. One little, hit is, of course, China putting some tariffs on our ethanol. That's going to hurt a little bit, but not surprising because over there they're trying to get their ethanol industry going. Actually, they have 19 to 20, I can't remember what is the exact number, ethanol plants being built in China right now under construction. That's huge for the corn demand long term. Of course, they've got a lot of old crop corn that they'd like to use up, and that's how they're planning on doing it, not to mention also cleaning their air.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to soybeans then. As we look, boy, they took a hit yesterday, but boy, it jumped right back again today. And are there some concerns? I know you keep hearing it's so early in the year, and they keep talking about corn acres maybe even being affected by the weather. But we're still early on that to worry too much about that, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's something farmers will talk about, and looking out the window, it definitely feels like it's a problem. But I don't know. In this office we were just talking about, we've been below normal temps for so long. Weather seems to usually average out. What if the second half of April is 20 degrees above normal? That would sure make for a big difference and a big change. Plus, I don't think the market's going to get too bulled up on planting delays, but like I said, I think it's a better chance of the corn market moving up just because funds just want to be long. And you mentioned the soybean market. quite a bit higher than we were a couple of months ago. That surprised me. But now with less acres planning on being planted this year, it gives the bulls a little bit more fire here to push this market higher. November at like 1048 today, bouncing back, like you said, after yesterday's losses. Get up around that 1060 mark, and then I think we can start rolling up some put options or looking to make additional sales, because longer term, the soybean market is not as bullish as the corn market.
You know, we look at Brazil, and of course they're getting a record crop down there, but they're talking that their soybeans now at the ports are quite a bit more expensive than, 34, 35 cents than New Orleans. But yet China, are they still going to pay that much and go for it and kind of just that little trade conflict we got?
Yeah, they'll keep buying some soybeans from us, but, right now, Brazil's a little bit more expensive than we are, but their quality is sadly a little bit better than ours, too. So I don't think the difference is hurting the Brazilian market right now. And, the biggest thing is as long as they can ship them out as fast as they absolutely can, which they've made a lot of improvements to their ports, if they can keep China fed, China's going to keep buying from them. Remember, year over year, I think Brazil soybean exports to China are up like 254%, where ours are like up like 7% or something on the year. So China's already been switching and buying more Brazilian beans than ours.
Now they're talking about the tariffs going on, and we'll talk a little about that with the hogs too, but beans. But you think they're going to want to go to that tariff with the beans, China? They kind of need our beans, don't they?
They sure do need our beans, but I think right now, if nothing changes, they won't. But what I'm hearing is if the U.S. takes another step and raises tariffs or adds more tariffs, then they're going to be forced to do something more drastic. And so watch for the U.S. on the next move. And if U.S. does make a move, then I think China is going to come in and slap tariffs on us. Yes, they need our beans, but if they slap, say, like a 20% tariff on our beans, the market will do a good job of pricing that in. In other words, what I'm saying is our beans are just going to end up having to be cheaper than Brazil beans, and then they'll still buy some from us too. So don't think we're out on the woods on that deal yet. And that's why looking at the supply and demand tables and worried about China tariffs, I don't mind aggressively still continuing to hedge new crop soybeans all the way up to 11.25. And if I run out of beans to sell, that's fine. They're also at a profitable level before something scary happens.
But I think China's getting to the point they kind of want to discuss this tariff thing with us a little more than they did before, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. They've actually come forward and said that, which is great. I think that was the whole point, to get them to come talk about, these trade surpluses and deficiencies. So, maybe we can avoid all this conflict. And who knows, maybe 5 years down the road, we look back at all of this and say it was actually a good move. But it sure makes it pretty uneasy and nervous for farmers. But, hey, for right now, the funds are buying corn and soybeans and even wheat today like crazy. So we'll let her buck, I guess.
Yeah, let's go into this wheat. Man, that just took off. I know the first crop report came out worse than we've had wheat since, 2002?
Yeah, I think it is something like that. Almost 20 years, we haven't seen crop conditions this low. What happened yesterday is we had our first national winter wheat crop conditions report came in. I believe it was 31 or 32% good to excellent. Last year was 51% at this time. And, of course, last year we struggled with the drought for a while, too. It maybe caught the market a little bit off guard. They watch it rain in the southern plains, but if you really look at where the rains fall and where the winter wheat belt is, the rains are all just to the east of the main winter wheat belt. A lot of people in the panhandle of Oklahoma saying they just haven't had rain in 150 days, so I don't even know if rain would help that wheat right now. So, yeah, definitely market reacting back to that. We're up 22, 24 today on Kansas City, and probably rightfully so. There's a gap at about $5, another 9 cents up from here. It just looks to me like the market wants to go fill that gap.
Spring wheat just kind of following along. I know the acres came out and they took a dive, but they just kind of following the other wheat. They just kind of coattailing it.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing crazy bullish about spring wheat right now, not with that 1.6 million acre increase expected this year. But of course, like we mentioned too, you look out the window further north, you get the worse it looks. I still think, the spring wheat's going to get planted. We will be more acres than last year, but maybe not that 1.6 if the weather continues like this. But you're right, Minneapolis is just going to be a follower. Not much for those farmers to do right now. I don't think it's a profitable position. So might as well sit back and wait and hope that the funds push corn and maybe Kansas City wheat sharply higher, and that'll pull Minneapolis wheat up to you know, 6.25, 6.50, and then we'd have to do some heavy selling, obviously.
Now, before we get off the grains, just one more thing on the soybeans. Argentina, that's pretty true about their crop not being as well as what they thought it was.
Oh, absolutely. Now, trade is probably assuming a 39 or a 40 million metric ton crop. You know, the beginning part of their growing season, we all anticipated a 57 million metric ton crop. So 17 million off, that's huge. And I kept on assuming, hey, eventually it's going to rain. And they did get a few rains here and there just to kind of keep their market, their soybeans growing. But boy, when you look over the entire season, way, way short of normal. So obviously their yields are going to be short. Ironically, of course, now they're going to get some rains. They got some rains last week and then more this weekend. And you got to kind of feel bad for those guys because I think that was too little too late for a lot of their beans. So, nope, that crop has definitely been hurt. But I think that's, for the most part, penciled into this market right now. You'll see it affect our exports, believe it or not, probably next year when we'll maybe export a little bit more soybeans because of the Argentina drought.
And meal, kind of, that's one reason that's kind of moving up. Argentina's a big producer.
Absolutely. You know, they produce the number one amount of soybean meal in the world, or export the number one amount. The only thing about Argentina we need to kind of remember, too, is they had about 30% of last year's crop still left sitting in those white tubes, those white bags out there. So they still had a lot of old crop sitting around. So they're not going to run out of beans. So eventually this soybean rally probably pumps the brakes pretty hard unless the U.S. has a weather problem up here.
Well, let's move on into the livestock. Live cattle pushing that $100. I know last time we had you on, you thought that might be a target that it might go to. We're almost there. What's going on?
I know. I can't believe it. This is one of those falling knife situations, and I've tried to catch it here several times, thinking this cattle market's gone too far too fast, but just another wise or unwise move of just let that falling knife hit the ground before you pick it up. I think catching it never works. This cattle market just keeps diving lower and lower. There's a part of me that would just like to see June get under that $1 mark this morning, because maybe the funds would look at it as a value at that point. Man, we've crashed so hard, so fast. But I mentioned the funds. That is the main driver behind this. The fundamentals are not that bad for cattle. Cash cattle still trading fairly well, coming off the highs, but they should this time of year. If you look at a chart, the managed money, the funds, have gone from long like 120,000, 130,000 to only long about 40,000 now. But I'm afraid they will have to get out of all those positions and before the bleeding stops on this. So I'm not quite sure if we're there yet or not, but we'll see in a couple weeks.
Feeders kind of moving up, holding up a little this morning, but they aren't quite dropping as bad as live cattle. But what do you see on that?
You know, I think the feeders last week at one point made a very nice key reversal. I think they were ready to head the other way, but then of course China announced the tariff on lean hogs, and when the lean hog futures crashed lower, it seems like feeders just had to go lower as well. I think the selling pressure spilled into the feeder market. I'm hearing feeders, the inventory out there, the cash side of things, pretty low. There's just not a lot of calves being sold anymore, and it doesn't feel like it outside today, but we're not that far away from people starting to want calves for spring pastures and summertime calves. So I look for that feeder market to probably be one of the first to show some support and start inching higher. I sure hope we're really close to a bottom here. It feels like it to me.
Did that feeder kind of take a bump on that the corn acres?
Well, you're right. That did not help last week either. We made that key reversal, and then hogs are down hard, and then corn's up hard. And I was a little surprised. The excuse was, you know, higher corn prices make for lower feeder cattle. It used to be true about 5 years ago. I don't know if we really follow that anymore now or not. Really, when it comes down to it, high-priced corn usually makes for high-priced fat cattle at the end, too. But that was the main reason of last week's pullback. You're correct.
Well, then we look at the lean hogs, and boy, that's sure down the limit yesterday.
Yes, that market is just nasty right now, and down again today, down another $1.50, $1.60. There again, another falling knife deal. You know, I looked at a few longer-term charts this morning and thought, wow, this thing's way too low, right? But actually, when you look at the continuous charts, you know, June could easily get down to 167. You know, last year's low. So we got a couple dollars we could still go in this market. The thing is, we got to remember, over the last 3 years, our hog production has increased 8%. So we really need that export market out there. And, of course, China is kind of the same thing. Their production has increased sharply. So we're just producing too many hogs right now for world demand. And even with a tariff from China, I mean, we probably weren't going to export a lot to them, but that's not a bullish thing either way. So down we go until we can find some support.
So you see any other, if this tariff thing goes on, hogs are about the only thing pulled in right now are the major commodities. Do they anticipate anything, any other livestock, the cattle or the, I know they're, the beans are always in the case, but.
Right. You know, I haven't heard of too much more that they're going to slap on anytime soon. Like I mentioned, you know, watch to see if U.S. isn't happy with the trade talks and we slap more tariffs on. I think they're going to come back with a soybean tariff eventually on us, but I also think they're pretty damn smart, and they'll probably wait until we plant our soybean acres, get as many acres in as we can, and then come out with a tariff when there's nothing we can do about it, is my fear. So, yet again, you know, keep protecting those soybean prices just in case it goes away.
Well, come on with a tariff and watch the price go down, and then they'll probably buy some.
And then they'll probably be okay with all of our beans. Yeah. Isn't that a shocker?
I know. They seem to have that ability to do it, but we got to have them. That's a problem.
Yeah, they invented trade wars, I think. So I think we better be careful who we're fighting with here.
Yeah, but they don't fight with a hog when it's in the mud, because you're probably going to lose, right?
That's right.
Anyway, Duane, thank you very much for joining me. I know it's these markets are just amazing. I don't know. They're hard to come by sometimes, and why they do what they do. But all in all, it kind of holds down. I really thought maybe these, after that big report came out, maybe that Monday they might settle down a little. But it seems to be not really.
Mm-hmm. Now we're climbing back up today. I'm very optimistic, actually, for the ag community here this year, especially that corn market. I'm really looking for some good things there. So we're going to hold off and wait to sell some corn at higher profitable levels this year.
All right, Duane, that sounds great. I don't think anybody would feel bad about that. I think we'd all appreciate it if you could. Anyway, Duane, thank you very much. Have a good day, and let's get spring on the wave here pretty soon.
Sounds good to me. Thanks, John.
All right, thanks, Duane. That's Duane Bussey.